doesn't stop just at the 100, 200 and 400. We have amazing girls in the 800 metres. It's carrying the whole way through, and I think that's something that's really important to note.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
I signed for them after the Euros, and after my first day's training on a driving home, I was actually thinking, regretting it, what have I done? Like I walked into a circus. It's amazing, isn't it?
Today's edition of Deal or No Deal, Willock Allen and Phil Egan. Not just once, but twice. Phil, good morning to you again. Doing? Will, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, lads. Good, yeah.
Okay, so according to the Mirror, Paris Saint-Germain want to buy Manchester United midfielder Paul Pogba and think they can sign him for a fee in the region of £50 million sterling. The Manchester Evening News reports there is yet to be contact between the clubs about this potential move. Its current deal runs out next summer. Is it time for Manchester United to part ways with the World Cup winner, Phil?
I think if you're Paul Pogba, you should probably try and get out, because it doesn't matter what Paul Pogba does at Manchester United, he's always going to be criticised. So if they won the league, say they go and win the league this season, I don't think they will, but say if they did, and Paul Pogba was unbelievable, then the criticism that would get thrown at him after winning them the league would be, oh, well, you know, he's been here since 2016. What took him so long?
Ah, no. If he wins the league against this Man City team, I think they would start talking about him the way they talk about Cantona. It's like the end of a mini famine. I mean, obviously, it's a much shorter famine this time than the one that Cantona ended. I think that, I see the point you're making, right? In the one weird, fluky, bizarre world where they win the league, he has to score 17 league goals, not penalties, right?
Yeah, well, look, the better the team around Pogba, obviously, the better he's going to be. So you look at the team that he arrived to, and obviously Mourinho was in charge, and, you know, it's not really set up for Paul Pogba to thrive in.
No.
And by the end of the Mourinho range, or he's left on the bench for Mourinho's last game at Anfield, and then Solskjaer comes in, Pogba plays, then more rumours that Pogba wants to leave. Solskjaer handled it pretty well. He comes into the team last season, starts playing pretty well, had a decent Euros. Now, I don't read too much into how he played at the Euros, because international football and the Premier League are completely different. I would liken it to when you play Tetris as a kid, and it's all well and good putting the blocks in when it's at the slower level, but when it starts speeding up and your mind is racing, like in the Premier League, it's tougher. And I think Pogba suits the international style where it's a bit slower. That's why he was really good in Italy. But look, I think there's always going to be a place for Pogba in the United team. But what I'm saying is that maybe it's not the worst if they can get him off their books, and for both player and for the club.
Okay, so this is a win-win.
I think so. The only thing is that fee. United would be looking at that fee thinking we could probably get more, couldn't we?
I don't know at this stage, can they? Like, is he? He's not worth 100 million anymore. He's not worth 80 million. Who's going to pay that? Who else has the money to take his wages on?
Well, you know PSG. If PSG are coming to buy off you, you could probably ramp up the money a little bit, which clubs do to United all the time.
Yeah, there's a PSG tax. There's a Man United tax. There's probably a Real Madrid and a Barcelona tax still, and they're still paying them as well. Will, what do you think? If you're a Man United fan, are you still... I mean, I remember the phrase was, we would drive him to the airport. Is this a drive him to the airport scenario?
I don't think so, Jared, because I think United fans have probably changed their opinion on Pogba a bit based on the second half of last season. Like, when his agent was in the media coming around to December of last year, it seemed like they were more than happy at that stage to go, look, Paul Pogba is missing far too many games. Paul Pogba is not showing up for United. If we get a decent fee, more than happy to allow him to go. Now, at this point, I think Pogba had a good second half to the season. He's had, with the exception of the mistake that he made, which almost directly resulted in France being knocked out, I thought he'd a pretty good European Championships. And at this stage, like, 50 million is a pretty derisory fee, considering that PSG have been splashing the money so far this summer, signing players like Donnarumma. They've paid, like, I think 80 million euro for Hakimi just a few weeks ago from Inter Milan. And you're signing the biggest superstar in French football to the biggest club in French football. You would imagine that United can hold out for a fee that's a lot more than 50 million.
Well,
the issue is now the contract situation,
exactly,
whether Pogba wants to sign a contract himself. Like, he's walked out on the club previously when he allowed his U-term deal to run out when he went to Juventus on a free transfer. how loyal is Paul Pogba to Manchester United and Manchester United's development towards, as Phil mentioned, trying to become a Champions League contender or a winner of the Premier League? I would think that United are quite a distance away. Does Paul Pogba want to give two or three more years of his career to sticking around for that project, or does he look to move to an elite European club? PSG, I'd imagine, lads, is the only option right now, because the other teams who potentially would like to sign him are all stone broke because of the pandemic. There's no way Real Madrid, Barcelona or Juventus can sign Paul Pogba for a reasonable fee this summer.
No, and I would argue probably not even the following year after that. So for Manchester United, there's a little bit of a game of chicken going on here, Phil. It's the fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. If he runs down his contract a second time at Manchester United, then that, I mean, in fairness, you would have to say his agent is properly a super agent, and Harry Kane could have done with somebody advising him along those terms a couple of years back, because Harry Kane would actually be a free agent if he hadn't signed that last deal right now. So what do you think will happen here, Phil? Well, what's most likely?
I think what's important as well on top of that, if he does get to that stage of his contract where he's running it down, then that just creates problems for United in terms of it's always going to be brought up. And if something doesn't happen this summer, and if he doesn't sign the new deal, then it's going to be asked to Solskjaer all the time. It's going to be asked to Pogba. Any closer to a new deal? These are things that always tend to crop up after a bad result as well.
Yeah.
When things are going well, you know, it's like, ah, yeah, I'll sign the deal whenever. Like, you know, you're just having a good time or winning. You know, everyone needs to relax. But as soon as something goes wrong, then it's like, you know, they haven't tied down Paul Pogba, or where does his future lie? So these are things they could do without. I think, as I said, I just think if...
From Christmas, he'll be able to sign a pre-contract deal with somebody.
I think that if they get, say, if they could get it up to 60 million, I think you take it and everyone's happy.
Yeah.
And Pogba goes to PSG and look at the team he's going to be playing with.
54 million sterling is what Transfer Market has his current market value at. I know that's completely made up, right? But they are tracking this and I don't know. Get him out, I'm saying. Get him out. Take the money and run.
Take the money. And do you know what? If he's there at the start of the season, you have a really good player. So it's just really, I'm thinking further down the line and the problems it could cause.
Who do you replace him with?
Well, I mean, I think United need a whole new midfield, because McTominay and Fred ain't working. But I think they need a really top central midfielder so they can actually change the formation. Jordan Henderson won't play now. He's still sore after what Fergie said about him.
What about Declan Rice?
Yeah, Declan Rice is a player that, unfortunately for Declan Rice, he's probably going to get priced out of a move, because this is why it made sense for Declan Rice to play for England in terms of what it would do for his future. So there's talk of about 80 million for Rice.
Right.
If he was an Irish international, he's half that.
Yeah, that's actually not good for Declan Rice, though. That's good for West Ham.
Yeah.
That's good for his agent, who gets an agent's fee. It's not good for him, because he doesn't get any of that 80 million.
No, but
he would actually be
fairness,
able to.
He also, in fair, like, he playing for England as well, he did get to play in a European final and go to a major tournament. So it's been a good choice for him. But I know what you mean. And I think there is certain English players that are going to get priced out of moves. I think Jack Grealish is another one. Now, I actually genuinely think with Grealish, I think he just loves Villa. And actually what Villa are doing at the moment is exciting. They have money. They're on the up. And Grealish is probably looking at this going, yeah, I'm quite happy here. But it's a nice excuse to have that teams will not fork out more than 100 million for the likes of Jack Grealish. Would you pay 80 million for Declan Rice if you're a Manchester United?
Maybe. I mean, ultimately, it's Manchester United, the money doesn't matter. The wages matter more than the money in some ways, because that upsets the ecosystem in the dressing room. How much the transfer fee was is largely irrelevant, although Harry Maguire has struggled a little bit. He's kind of come good in terms of the quality of performance that you would expect from him. The other thing that we need to talk about here quickly is Raphael Varane, who... it says, hopes to secure a move to Manchester United in the coming days. This is one of those very long, drawn-out transfer sagas that the longer it goes on, the more concerned you might be.
I don't know. Varane seems at this point, lads, that he is actually quite interested in leaving Real Madrid. Like, it's going to be such a new era for them, given that Varane and Sergio Ramos have been their central defence for so long at this point. Like, both are there for 10 years plus at this stage. But all the soundings in the Spanish media over the last couple of weeks is that Varane fancies the idea of going to the Premier League. It seems that Manchester United are the most interested in signing him. Real Madrid need money at this stage to try and reinvigorate their own squad. So I think if United actually come in with a bid, because like all the reports are that they've already agreed to the personal terms that were offered Rafa at this stage, that if they can get a deal done for somewhere in the 60, 70 million, you would imagine this is the perfect signing for Manchester United, who've been crying out for a good central defender for quite some time. Like, he'd be almost a perfect partner for Harry Maguire, given that he would definitely cover up for some of Maguire's shortfalls in terms of his defending. And look, I take Phil's point that they definitely need a better shielding midfielder than McTominay or Fred going into next season. But maybe Rafa Varane, if you get him in, yeah, fixes some of the issues, and you can probably play with one fewer holding midfielder in front of the defence if it's Maguire and Varane as opposed to Maguire and Bailly or Lindelof.
Yeah, no, potentially. And maybe you can play three at the back and all of a sudden there's an opportunity to have Pogba work in a system that actually suits his talents a bit more than it has been at the moment. Phil, this Varane thing, you're a little bit sceptical?
Well, no, I'm sceptical, but you do worry. You want to see the picture. You want to see the picture of Varane holding up the United shirt and Solskjaer beside him. Because even Jadon Sancho, it's all been agreed, but it hasn't actually been finalised yet. You want these deals to be finalised before you actually believe them. And it is a strange one for Real Madrid that they're going to have Varane and Ramos off their books in the same summer. And, you know, it doesn't really bode well for them. In terms of, it would be a really good signing for United, but as I said, you just want to get it done. And the problem I have with McTominay and Fred, it's never one or the other, it's both. And any time Solskjaer feels like he goes into a game where they have to get a big result, he's always going to pick those two because they give him that bit of extra safety. But for United to push to the next level, safety is no longer good enough. They have to attack. They have to attack, whether it's the Premier League or the Champions League, because they now have to be more active rather than passive. I think they're reactive as well. And that's when United were at their best. Look, I'm not saying that they can get back to those Fergie days, but to get to the next level, they have to start thinking of playing more on the front foot in those bigger games. But Varane would be a key part of that, and I think a really good holding midfielder that can do the job on his own.
Okay, we talked a little bit earlier on about Liverpool and potential some changes that they might need to make. We talked, Phil, about in the midfield area. One of the things that Liverpool have been very good at doing is pawning off fringe players to other Premier League teams for what seems like inflated money. Nat Phillips has been linked with a move for 15 million to Brighton. Is this a good deal for Liverpool? Is it good for Nat Phillips? Or actually, is 15 million not enough these days for one of those players who you might need to play 10 or 15 Premier League games?
I think it's a good deal. I think you take the money and, yeah, Nat Phillips played 20 first team games last season, 17 in the Premier League, 3 in the Champions League. But look what it took for him to get that amount of appearances. Like a defensive crisis.
These crises, they do happen.
They do happen, but they've signed Konate now. I mentioned that earlier on, Ben Davis was signed on the same day as Kabak, but Ben Davis is still there. He played in the pre-season game yesterday, and I wonder, has Klopp taken the long-term approach with him? And with Nat Phillips,
Take the money,
because if you think about it, if he doesn't play as much, which he probably won't play as much this season, how does his value ever go up?
Yeah.
And I think Liverpool have made mistakes in this in the past. I looked at Origi playing yesterday. If Liverpool had cashed in on Origi after the Champions League win,
yeah,
they could have got 30 million for him. Now he's still at the club and, you know, he comes on and he's not really doing it anymore. He's a bit of a cult hero, but that ship has sailed now in terms of the highest price they could have got for him.
Okay. Will James McLean looks to be on his way out at Stoke City. He had a falling out last year, essentially because he played for Ireland, and this did not go down well with Michael O'Neill. He came back from injury at that point and then didn't play again for Stoke because of the injury. I mean, I think this is something that we should all remember when it comes to him showing up for the Republic of Ireland and the effort that he puts in. But he's being linked with a move to Celtic. Would he start at Celtic? Is he good enough to play for Celtic at this stage of his career? Is it a good move for him? Should he do it anyway and try and force his way into the team?
Yeah, well, you'd be looking at, I would think, James McLean playing at left wing back if he was to go to Celtic, or left back as opposed to playing further up the pitch. It's not that long ago that James McLean had an incredible finish to the championship season last summer. And then, yeah, the injury against Qatar really dirtied his bib with Michael O'Neill, because it seems that O'Neill had put pressure on for McLean not to link up for that international window at all. And then particularly for McLean to go on and play quite a bit of football against Qatar in a pretty meaningless friendly and to aggravate an existing injury. You can understand where Stoke are coming from here. Like, it's all well and good that James McLean really wants to play for his country, but limited minutes within the competitive games, fair enough. To play in a non-competitive game and to make that injury even worse means that he's very unlikely to get back into the Stoke team despite the good form that he showed previously. It seems that James McLean is linked with Celtic every single transfer window, and it's never quite happened, but he's obviously very game for moving there. He's a Celtic fan when he was younger. You would hope that if he moves there, it's not like Duffy, where it seemed perfect. You're going to your boyhood club and this is a chance to play football at what is seemingly a lower level when Duffy was going from the bottom end to the Premier League to go to the SPL. I know there was more factors with Duffy, particularly around his personal life when he was arriving into Glasgow, but I think McLean, if he comes in, would add a lot of energy to that Celtic team. Like, from watching them last night, they're still a little bit light squad-wise. I think if they could get McLean, you know, on a reasonable transfer fee, he's shown that he's still a pretty good championship player. I would imagine he slots straight into the Celtic team, but probably as a left fullback, I would think.
Okay. You agree with that, Phil?
I looking at their bench, the options weren't great on their bench, so he certainly would be a good addition to the squad. And I just imagine James McLean kind of in a Superman role where his Celtic gear is on under his clothes and he's waiting for the call, and then he rips off his shirt and he's got his Celtic gear on. He's like, I'm ready. Yeah, I've been waiting for this for a while. He would love to play for Celtic.
Yeah, and I think he's one of those players he would hope would thrive at Parkhead as well. So, want to talk about this. TalkSport reports that Southampton's Danny Ings wants to join Manchester United and Manchester City. Good that he has dreams, absolutely. Should either club buy him at this point? How would he fit in at a side challenging for the title? Phil, start with you.
I think he'd be more suited to playing for Manchester City because... But you have to understand, he's not going to be a starter. He's not a starter for either club. And that would be my concern for Ings, because when he got the move away from Liverpool and he started banging in goals for Southampton, that's because he was a starter. He was the main man. You know, you get that rhythm, you get that confidence. You think back to that season where he scored 25 goals, like everything he touched went in. Whereas if you go and sit on the bench and you are called to come on, say, for 20 minutes to go, you got to deliver. And if you don't, then you mightn't get 20 minutes the next time. You might only get 10. And that window gets shorter and shorter. And then you become a player that plays League Cup games and FA Cup games. But if you go to Manchester City, there will be plenty of those games. And you might get dead rubbers in the Champions League as well. So I just don't... You know, he's got to ask himself, does he want to be a regular for Southampton or a different club? Or does he want to sit on the bench for a United or a City?
At three times the money.
Well, I mean, that would always help, I'm sure.
It's definitely a complicated question. Very quickly, at a 1 to 10, Declan Rice, is he... We talked about Manchester United earlier, but really Chelsea is the one that everybody's suggesting. Chelsea believe that Declan Rice wants to be a Chelsea player and to, you know, come full circle. So, will 1 to 10, the chances of Declan Rice being a Chelsea player, 10 being him in the blue kissing that badge...
I would think a 6. I think if he was available for less than the 80 or so million that West Ham seemed determined to hold out for, he would go to Chelsea and be reunited with Mason Mount in that midfield. I think it would be an ideal signing for Chelsea, given that, you know, at some point they're going to have to refresh their midfield because Kante, despite his remarkable energy, is not getting any younger. They didn't fancy Jorginho at different times. Maybe they'll reconsider that, though, after his brilliant performances at the European Championships this year. Rice would add a lot of depth to the midfield if he was to arrive at the club. But given that West Ham, their owners are digging in and not selling the club, it seems, this morning, they definitely won't want to sell their England gem in midfield without a huge fee. And I'm not sure if Chelsea are going to go in that heavy this year, having spent like quarter of a billion even last summer.
I'm just looking at the Chelsea arrivals so far, and these are all players back on loan. So previous loan period just finished at the end of June. Billy Gilmore, we know, has already gone back out on loan. But it's Gilmore, Kennedy, Malang Sarr, Abdulrahman Baba, Danilo Pantic, David Zappacosta, Matt Miazga, Bakayoko, Marco van Ginkel, Victor Moses, Danny Drinkwater, Tomori and Baker all still under contract at Chelsea this year. So maybe they're not going to sign any players. Maybe they're going to find some hidden gems in there, and they don't feel like they need Declan Rice, because Thomas Tuchel can rescue the career of Danny Drinkwater.
There's nobody in that list that I thought, oh, yeah, he could be worth a shout. No, I think...
Kennedy?
No, he was at Granada last season. Would have played against United.
Under contract till 2024 at Chelsea.
Yeah, no, he's gone.
I think Tomori has gone to AC Milan as well.
Already,
has he? Kevin's gone through, yeah.
Yeah. I think, Kennedy's going to go back out on loan. He'll probably turn up, you know, when you're watching Europa League on a Thursday night, and you're like, oh, that's where he plays now, or... And then you kind of check that they're still Chelsea players. Of course they are. But Declan Rice, obviously the age profile. He's 22. Like, you're looking at Kante is 30. Jorginho, 29. Kovacic, 27. Different type of player. And also as well with Declan Rice, you know that he can play centre-half.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's definitely one of those things that Tuchel would be able to maybe show Gareth Southgate how to use this player a little bit better. Lads, good stuff. Thanks a million. That's this week's Deal or No Deal.
What about your own personal position? Every day the newspapers are saying he's worth £5 million. Real Madrid want to sign him. Blackburn want to sign him. Liverpool want to sign him. What is the position?
Well, the position is simple. I'm on a contract for another season and a half. And I've discussed a new contract at Forest. And, you know, if I get the right deal, I'm prepared to stay.